put up the line, the last song, "All My Life You Have Been Faithful." I just want it up there real quick, if that's okay. Can we do that? Close. The line, "All My..." We're getting there. And I just want it to be up there for a couple of seconds, because this is my testimony this morning. I'm sorry. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. I knew I threw you a curveball this morning. I don't know why this morning, but I've been really hesitant to stand up here this morning. Been nervous to say what God has put on my heart. Afraid of what I might say, because I don't feel like I have it down, or I'm inadequate this morning. But man, when I sang these words this morning, "All my life, He is faithful." And I'm not typically emotional. I'm not one that, I don't like being up here like this, but I want you to know, man, God's Spirit is just moving. When that line opened up, I felt the heavens pour down upon me and upon us as a church. I hope you felt that too. I hope you know that God loves you. He's faithful. He is here for you. Whatever issues you're going through, whatever doubts you're dealing with, whatever struggles that you are carrying in today, God is faithful. And what's awesome about this too, He loves you right where you're at. We have a God that seeks us out, a God that loves us right where we're at, a God that doesn't require anything of us to initiate a relationship. He's always initiating the relationship with us. We just have to say yes. We just have to accept it. We just have to embrace it. We just have to be willing to hear His voice and allow Him to move. I just want you to know, I have felt moved. I don't even know if I want to preach what God has put on my heart, because I just know that God is moving this morning. And I want you to know, about 30 minutes ago, I felt like I was so void of God this morning. And I don't think I'm the only one that goes through these moments. I bet some of you didn't want to be here this morning. It took a lot for you to get out of bed. It took a lot for you to get in the car. It took a lot for you to get out of the car and walk through these doors this morning. God is faithful. Praise God this morning. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for moving. Thank you for touching our hearts and our souls this morning. Lord, I pray. I pray that we hear your voice. That we know from the depths of our heart that you are faithful. That the times we feel like we're drowning, the times that we're dealing with doubt, the times that we don't want anything to do with you, you run to us, you embrace us, you hug us, you pull us up, you carry us along with the race. Lord, may we feel that today. May that be real for us. May we embrace you. May we know that we are loved by you no matter what. We give you all the praise this morning. Amen. So if you haven't noticed, we have a couple bags out front, right? We got these kind of bags, some backpacks. We have, and they're all multicolored. They're awesome, right? And our serve committee has put them together, and it's our Project 229, right? And what we are going to do as a church is, these are for our homeless people in our community. People of need. And I want you to know, they're filled with some awesome stuff. It fits their needs, right? It has food that's not perishable. It has drinks. It has waters. It has socks. It has deodorant. It has soap. It has the things in which they need, right? And what we have decided is that we would love for you to take one or two or three, how many you feel called to take this morning, all right? When you leave, and put them in your car. And every time you see it in your car, to be praying for it. Praying who receives this, praying that God opens your eyes to see somebody that needs this, praying that God gives you the courage to approach somebody that needs this, praying that God will be the person, be through you, the hands and feet of his love for those who are in need. Let me read a scripture to you this morning. It's found in Matthew. Let me find it first. Matthew 6 says this: "Be careful to not practice the righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will be no, there will be no reward for you in your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not pronounce it with a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, but to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they will receive the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what you have done in secret, will reward you." This is why I'm going to have you do it by yourselves. We talked about maybe going out as the church as a whole, but I've decided, listen, this is an individual practice for us to be aware of, that we give to people that are in need. And it is not for a clap on our back. You hear me on that one? It's not a gold star on your chart. It is to be what God has called us to be. And that's it. And I want you to know, man, that fills our hearts more than anything else. So I challenge you, as you leave this morning, and don't leave yet, all right? I can see, oh, he said leave. All right, let's go. Sweet. All right? To take as many bags that you feel like you're called to take. All right? And again, let me charge you with what that means. For as long as it's in your car, as long as it's in your possession, each day you see it, you're praying for the one that gets it. All right? That you're invested in a spiritual realm for this person. And that maybe God even opens an opportunity to talk with that person about God, about who God is in your life, about what God has done for you, right? And if not, it's just an opportunity to be the hands and feet that God has called us to be for those who are in need, right? We're never going to solve poverty. Poverty is part of our culture. Poverty is part of our nature. Poverty is always going to be there. But it also gives us an opportunity to be the grace and mercy and love and redemption to everybody that needs. You see, this is so awesome because, listen, we don't deserve the love that God provides us, right? He gives it to us freely. This is our opportunity and a physical stance to do the same. And Project 229 offers that opportunity. And we want to be a church that equips our people to do that. That's why we do it. So please, if you put it on your heart, if you feel like, you know, you're just even questioning it, think about it. Grab a bag. All right? Pray that God puts somebody in front of you that you're like, okay, I need to give them this. Because it's an opportunity to share God's love. And I want you to know, as a pastor, as a person that just follows God, a person that believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, right? I want to live the way Christ lived. I want to be the follower of Jesus. And in that, he sometimes drags me towards people. Sometimes he opens a door and I'm like skipping through, right? But I want to be that person that's willing to do what God has done. And how God has laid a path before us, he's laying a path before you too. Right? We are charged to do more than what we do. We are charged more to just sit in these seats. We are charged to live a life that glorifies God. All right? And that's awesome. Praise God. And I love being a part of church that's equipping each other to do these things. So we did some of the labor. We had volunteers do all the labor. They did awesome. They packed these bags. They put it together. I'm pretty sure they prayed over it already. Continue to be praying for it. Continue to be thinking about it. Put it in your car. Get ready to do God's work. Right? It's awesome. All right. So today, we are going to talk about fasting. We're starting a series called Fasting and Praying. Next week, you got a cool speaker coming, not me. All right? So be excited. They're going to talk about praying. We have Harrison Ford coming. Right? Not the actor. Our own private youth pastor. Right? And he's going to bring the message about praying. Right? And today I'm going to talk about what it means to fast. This weekend, I was up in Michigan speaking to a board of a church in the Wesleyan Church and helping them in the process of discovering who they are and all that process. And I was with the pastor in his car I got invited to be with, and we had to travel about an hour to get to the place. And I drove because I knew I would have to be leaving from that place to get back here, right? And as we're talking and hearing his heart for his church and hear what God is doing and all that stuff, I heard the ding. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The ding? The low fuel light came on. So I hadn't filled up since I drove all the way to Michigan, and we had about 30 minutes still to go, and I had 25 gallons of gas left. Or not gallons, 25 miles left of gas. 25 gallons, yeah, that's awesome, right? Woo! All right, I got to wake up this morning, all right? I had 25 miles left to go of gas, and I had 30 miles left till my destination. And I looked at the pastor, and I said, "Do you think we can make it?" And he goes, "No. Pull over." Well, he was at my mercy. And we make it 20 miles. And then the gas mileage changed, right? It says I had 5 miles left till I run out on empty. And I had 4.7 miles till my destination. Yeah, right? That'll be awesome. And if it happens, I'm the one driving, so he would have to push, right? That's the problem. You got to be aware of who you get in, what car you get into, and who's driving, right? And I will say I'm notorious of running out of gas. I ran out of gas when I was a newlywed on Interstate. Was it 57? It was, or it was 55, or 57. On the way back to Olivet in a Jeep. I had a Jeep that the gas, the gauge didn't work. And I thought I had plenty of time. And it just, I lean over to her. We didn't have the top or doors on. And we're on the interstate. That's always smart, right? And I'm yelling at her going, "Hey, what? I'm out of gas. What?" And then it was walking. We ran out of gas right next to Buckley, Illinois, right on there on the interstate, walked up the viaduct, walked to the town. Of course, you know what they didn't have? A gas station in this town. What? Right? We found somebody mowing their lawn. We interrupted their day and asked them, "Hey, you got any extra gas so I can put it in my Jeep?" And it was one of those kind of Jeeps that once it runs out of gas, you're not sure if it'll ever start back up. Right? I will tell you why. Because I was its mechanic. You just didn't know. Right? But we got her going again, and Michelle let me know that she had new shoes on, and she doesn't like me anymore after that day, or like that Jeep anymore. Right? But I preached about running out of gas one other time, and the very next day, I went to Champaign from Decatur. And my wife was with me, and my family was with me. And again, I got it down to 1 gallon and filled her up. We're good. Didn't run out of gas. But you think I would live and learn, right? But I don't. Anyway, I get to this gas station in Michigan, and you're filling it up. And you know how sometimes they have, like, a TV there? And it gives you, like, the news for, like, the 2 seconds that you're filling up, right? Well, this one had a word of the day. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting. And it was, the word was grandstanding. I thought, okay, all right. And that word just kept gnawing at me as I spoke for this, this, board, and as I was driving home, grandstanding. Why is that the word of the day? Why would they put that as the word of the day? And they even gave me the definition. It is the action of behaving in a showy or ostentatious manner in an attempt to attract favorable attention from spectators or the media. Right? It is this, I am here and I'm awesome kind of mentality. Right? What I do every Sunday. I'm coolest person in the world. No. Anyway, I started thinking about times in my life that I've thought, okay, that's a little grandstandy of me, right? And I will forever live this sports moment in my life. All right? It came down to a shootout in soccer. And it was the championship. It was the championship game of this league, right? And I was the last one to ask to go and kick. You asked five people to go and do penalty kicks. That we did two overtimes. And let me put it this way. We were in the lights in a stadium. It was so cool. It was awesome. And we were in the championship game. And we were tied 1-1 after all the regulation time, all the overtime. And we went to kickoffs, right? And I was the last one to kick. And if I make it, we win, right? And my coach brings me over and he talks to me. He goes, okay, this is where I want you to kick it. I want you to kick it left high corner, right? And I'm thinking, oh, he thinks I'm good enough to do that, right? We'll see, right? So I'm sitting there, and this is young enough not to understand pressure. This is young enough just to go, this is an awesome moment. I can't wait to succeed. I can't wait. Like, there was no hesitation in my mind that I'm going to do this. I line up. I look at the goalie. I stare down the goalie. I look at the ball. I take my five steps back, and I get ready, and boom, I nailed it. Left high end corner. We win. And we start running a victory lap. And all my teammates, they decide, okay, we're going to pick Ben up. And they start running a victory lap with me on their shoulders. And I was like, yeah! Life can't be any better than this moment. Do you know, for years I dreamt about that moment. For years I thought, pinnacle, made it. Right? And that was life. And I think about that moment and I go, man, that was so cool. And I didn't ask them to pick me up. Grandstanding goes, okay, guys, I did this. Pick me up. Come on, let's go. Right? We live in a world where we want to show off. We live in a world that we want to be here and people see us and see what we've done, right? And we put together a resume, right? Do you know what a resume is? Just shows you where you've been. That's it. That's what a resume is, right? God wants to take you forward, and he doesn't want you to be limited by your resume. Okay? And when it comes to fasting, this is what the church, the original church, was doing. When they would fast, and if you understand what fast is, first off, I will tell you, the word just doesn't seem to go along with what I would think a fast is, right? I'm thinking it's something really fast, really quick, let's get this done, don't have to worry about it. Fasting is actually quite the opposite of taking your time intentionally not to be part of something in your life. And back then it was how you ate, how you took care of yourself. You would fast nutrients. You would fast food. You would fast and take that time to be with God, right? And it became something where for the church, they would do these things and they would want to look sick. They would want to look like they didn't eat for years. They would want to look their face swollen in, and they would go around and tell, I'm fasting. Hey, did you know? I'm fasting today. I'm giving up food for 40 days. I'm awesome. I'm righteous. I'm a good man of God. I want you to know. Like, they would stand on the corner and tell that. And I started thinking about this and how we relate to this, and I... And please don't yell at me later, but I think we kind of do this. Hey, I'm not going to be on social media because of Lent. I'm giving it up. Not going to be on Instagram no more. You won't hear from me for a while on Facebook because the Lord told me to give it up. I'm awesome. And I don't know if that's your attitude, but we have a tendency to want everybody to know, hey, I'm doing this. In reality, this is what God says about this. It almost sounds the same as giving for the needy, right? It's Matthew, here, we've got it up there. Matthew 6:16-18 says this. When you fast, and I want to stop right there. It doesn't say if you fast. Words matter, right? When you fast, and this is Jesus' words. This is all in the red. This is what he is saying on the Sermon on the Mount. This is his understanding, which we should understand that is God's understanding of what it means to fast, all right? When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Your Father, who sees what you have done in secret, will reward you. Okay, first, again, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. I want to explain some reasons to fast real quick. Fasting and prayer can restore the loss of your love for the Lord. I don't have them up here, but I think these are essential to maybe even think about, write about. If you feel like you don't have a relationship with God, guess what can help restore that? Fasting and praying can restore the loss of your love for the Lord. Number two, fasting truly humbles yourself in the sight of God. Number three, fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal the true spiritual condition that you're in. Many of us, I think, at this point, might feel like we're good. Or we've not heard from God, so everything's fine. When we intentionally fast, God intentionally moves and shows us where we need to move. Shows us where in our life we need to transform. Shows us that there are things that we need to confront that we never even thought about that needs to be confronted. All right? Number four, if we fast, the Holy Spirit will imprint God's word deeper in your heart. These are not bad things. Can you imagine? This is such an awesome idea. The word of God being imprinted in your heart even deeper. That you can feel every word that is spoken by Jesus just lived out of you, breathed out of you, lived, just given life to you. Fasting helps you with that. And finally, fasting transforms your prayer life. First up, okay, let's talk about what fasting is. Fasting is an opportunity for you to spend time with God, not lose weight, not to get healthier, not to be a person that you wish you could be. Fasting gives you an opportunity to be alone with God. It gives you an opportunity to listen to God. It gives you an opportunity for God in your relationship to be the singularity thing that's going on in that moment. And it's for nobody else. It's for nobody else to be heard about. It's for nobody else to be a participant of it. It's for nobody else but you and God. I want to say first, this whole statement here is by Jesus. Do you realize fasting is an opportunity to spend alone time with your Creator, your Maker? He desires it with you. He wants to have the closest relationship with you beyond everybody else. He wants, when you first think of somebody that loves you, cares about you, is there for you, that he's number one in your life. And fasting helps us realize that. It helps us know God is there. It is not something we do just to check off the box as a believer. It's not something to do to go, okay, hey, at the end of Lent, I am so happy. I got this. I did it. Woo! I am awesome. I did 40 days without cupcakes. I'm really cool. Right? I want you to know that's so ridiculous. But we do that. You can replace the cupcakes with whatever. Right? You can replace it with the most righteous thing you can think of. You know, every day I got up and I sacrificed my time and I read scripture and I was there for 30 minutes and a half hour. And I even, you know what, for me, it was 2 hours a day. I was in his presence. I gave everything else up during that time. Man, it was so good. Nobody needs to know. Just you and God. There is nothing to be on a platform about when it comes to that. Because all the glory in this moment is just you and God. Right? And it's an understanding because it humbles us. That's what fasting does. Do you realize that? It humbles us. It makes us realize, hey, all these things that we do and all these things that we're about and all these things that control us and we deal with on a constant that we think, and God comes in and goes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm bigger than that. And without me, you're nothing. With me, you have everything. But it's not because of you, it's because of God. And it makes you understand. So when you go out into this world, it makes us see the world in a different way. It doesn't put us above anybody else. It doesn't make us more righteous than anybody else. It doesn't make us any different from how they live to how we live. We just know who God is, and we know we are loved and forgiven and redeemed through God. And it should change how we see this world and how we love this world and how we live in this world, because we know God is the reason we are living and loving and caring. And it makes us, like, the moments we see somebody, like, for instance, you go to Walmart and you see a mom or a dad and they're just not handling things right? And, like, the kids are just fully just crazy. You're like, horrible parents. Horrible parents. That kid just needs to be spanked. Come here. Right? Ever? No, just me? Right? It is so easy to be in that. You know what it's also easy to do? I had a 5-hour trip yesterday. Right? I can, you're a horrible driver. Horrible. Get out of the left lane. Trying to get home. Right? I think it's easy to just start thinking that way. It's easy to start going and comparing and going, they're just bad people. I'm so much better. Right? And then we can start doing that even in our marriages. We can start doing that with our kids. We can start doing that with our friends. We can start doing that with everything that we have. And God comes in, and when we fast, it puts us in a moment and going, I am no good, and it is only through God that I am loved, and it is only God that I can stand here and be affirmed by his love, because I didn't deserve this, I didn't earn this, I didn't do anything for this. God did everything through me. Amen? Right? And fasting makes us realize that. Fasting puts us back in our place to go, okay, God, you are number one. And in this moment, whatever I decide to sacrifice, whatever I decide, whether it's food, social media, an event that I do on a daily basis, anything that I know that I do that I need to let go, and it doesn't mean it has to be bad stuff. Guess what? It doesn't. Everything that we fast doesn't mean it's bad. It just means we are taking the moment to sacrificially stop doing that to honor God, to listen to God, to be in God's presence, to allow God to search our hearts and own our hearts. right? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine intentionally doing that on a daily basis? For 40 days, going, okay, for 40 days, I'm going to intentionally allow God to examine my heart. I'm going to intentionally allow God to say what he needs to say. And during that time that I'm sacrificed, during that time I'm fasting, during that time, I'm going to completely say yes to everything he wants of me. Scary, right? That's fasting. And guess what starts to happen? I left this part out because there's a trend right now. It's big, and I love the fact there's a revival amongst our college students. It's hitting there's so many other campuses going on right now. And I don't want to focus on the event itself, but I want to focus on what God is doing through those events. If we fast the way God has called us to fast, I guarantee, and that's such a huge platform to stand on, there will be a revival in your heart. He will resuscitate you if you need to be resuscitated spiritually. He will bring new life into your life if you spend time and you hear him and you know what he's saying and you say yes to what he's saying. As scary as it is, as crazy as it might be, that you say, okay, God, I will be your servant today. Okay, God, you have called me to love the unlovable. You have called me to be what I know I don't want to do. You've called me out into the deep and stretch my faith in a time that's already stretched. May I grow closer to you. May I continue to say yes to you. May I know that your strength, your ability to carry me through this is bigger than anything else in this world. Fasting helps us understand that. And again, we are not called to be like the hypocrites. And hypocrites is a very annoying word to say. Hypocrite. It just sounds horrible, right? First off, I want you to know, it's easy to judge those hypocrites. And as we judge the hypocrites, guess what we become? The hypocrite. We are no better than the Pharisees of Jesus' time. And I want you to know how hard that is to say. We are no better than those who think they're very self-righteous. We are called to love all. We are called to move forward with all. We are called to do what God has called us to do. Love our enemies? Yes. To love our brother and sister? Yes. To put God first and above everything else? Yes. Fasting helps us understand how to put God first. It humbles us. It puts us in our place of how God has designed us and puts God back in the throne of our lives where he belongs. So the challenge this time up to Easter, we're going to be talking about what it means to fast, how to fast, how to pray, what it means to pray, right? One of the funniest things that I don't want to say funny because that sounds so mean. Not funny, but when I hear somebody say they don't know how to pray, they don't know what to say, they don't know how to put that out there into the world. Praying is just having a simple conversation with God. He wants to hear from you. He also wants to be heard by you. We have a tendency to think a conversation is what? One way? It's not. Trust me. Been married? It's not. Still married? It's not, right? Said Ben. Words matter. God wants to speak to you just as much as he wants to hear from you. And it might feel awkward, but I would tell you, find a place, whether it's your car, turn off the radio, spend some quality time with God sometime during the day. And fasting forces you. Whatever you're giving up. Say you give up dinner, all right? You know what you're supposed to be doing during that time of dinner? Not whining that you don't have dinner. Right? That is me. I will say it. If I have ever fasted a meal, I guarantee you I've said, why did I make this decision? I can't wait till Sunday to eat again. Right? Or the next morning go, I can't wait to eat that big breakfast that I'm going to eat to make up for not having my dinner. That's not the purpose. That's not the reason. Again, it is about sacrificing to be in the presence of our God, right? And the pains that we feel, it reminds us of our humanity and how much we need God. And again, I don't go, hey, I didn't eat dinner last night. That's why I'm cranky today because, man, I'm wanting to grow closer to God. I live it out. I don't let them know. I don't let any of you know what I'm giving up. I don't let anybody know except for God only, and I deal with that with God only. And by like the 35th day, if you're struggling, you're hurting, you're frustrated, guess who you go to during this fast? You go to God. That's who you go to. Do you know at the end of that road, there's going to be some major transformation that happens in your life? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for God to move in your life? Are you ready for God to tell you what you need to change? Are you ready for God to speak to you during this time? Because he will. And he might say things that you're not prepared for him to say to you. He might show you things that you're not prepared to be shown. And this is what you have to confront. And it's not just the hunger pains or whatever pains that you're feeling in this moment that you're missing out on. It's more spiritual pain going, I can't believe I was this way and you're calling me to live this way. Give me the strength to do it. See, I think at day 36, day 40, whatever, how long the fast goes, you start to realize it's not the pain of missing out on what you're missing out. It's the pain of wanting to do what God is calling you to do, and you maybe not feel like you can do it. That should be more painful than anything else. Because he's calling you personally. He's challenging you personally. He wants to use you personally. And that should be amazing. That should be scary. That should be something that you go in your heart of hearts. That's the moment you celebrate. God wants to use me. God wants to use me. I am a sinner that is saved by grace, that is forgiven, and in put in charge of doing God's ministry. And when I say that, I'm not saying that as your pastor, I'm saying that as Ben Alexander, because I think he calls all of us to be a part of that. And he wants to use you personally. This morning, stand with me, church. This morning, I want us to think about this. If you fast, you will find yourself being humbled. You will discover more time to pray and seek God's face. And as he leads you to recognize and repent of unconfessed sin, you will experience God's grace and to grow and mature in you. Let me read that one more time, all right? Because I want us to understand what it's going to mean when we have time with God. I want us to understand what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to change you. He wants to mold you. He wants to love on you. He wants to free you from the things that we have chained ourselves to. And fasting helps free us of these things. If you fast, you will find yourself being humbled. That's a good thing. Trust me. A lot of us need to be humbled. Including me. You will discover more time to pray and seek God's face. It's not a bad thing, right? We want more of God. We talk about it. This isn't to offer us an opportunity to do it. And as he leads you to recognize and repent of unconfessed sin, you will experience God's grace and grow and mature in you. When we see God, guess what God usually shows us? The areas in our life we need to change. The things of how we think need to change. And our God is so gracious. He allows himself to move in us, to forgive us, and to transform us. When Easter comes, our prayer is that we are living the resurrected life with Jesus. During this time, we're praying that God redeem us, God transform us, God free us. That's what we're doing for the next 40 days till Easter. That's the challenge, church. Go and be redeemed. Go and find time with God. Go and fast, seeking out God's love, seeking out God's redemption, seeking out God to transform you this week. All right? Go and be the church.